Blog Talk Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to you, see that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else can take your place. Now when I'm gonna be the warmth of your embrace, help me find my way, bring me back to you. Everybody say it tonight, na na na. Said I seen you working on my no.
And I want you to work in me.
Said I seen you heal the sick to others. And I want you to work in me. Lay it all down again. Mishkataba. To hear you say I'm your friend. Because I see
you
said I've seen you working others. And the Bible says that we are to be provoked to jealousy in a good thing. But I want you to know that the anointing of God is not relegated but to one name, and that is Jesus. I've seen some things. I've seen some anointed people. I've seen men and women pray to the power of God move. So happy to have my mother here, the international mother. That's it. Yeah. Mother Winans. And I saw my brother David, my eldest brother David, had been living for about 3 days with a ruptured appendix. The poison was all through his body. They weren't expecting him to live, and he'd gone to the hospital. They operated one, and then they got him in, and they saw more. They had to operate again. When they finished that second operation, they came back and told them that there was another pocket of poison that they need to go in and get. And at the time, my father said, no. I don't know why I let you operate in the first place. And he called for the elders of the church. And they came in and prayed. Elder Stacks and Elder Weatherspoon. And they said, Lord, for his grandfather's sake, heal him. And the doctors came back and said, we don't know where it went, but the poison is gone. David is alive today. Because I've seen you work, and I want you to work in me. Everybody that wants God to do something through them, just say that one time. Say, I see and I want you to work. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Second Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. I wish I had a voice tonight. I was hollering the other day. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting. Yield it and still. Second Chronicles and Mother Boyd was here. She might say it like this. Y'all ready? Y'all got to go with me. Use me, Lord, in your servant. Draw me nearer every day. I'll be willing, Lord, to run on all the way. If I falter, Second Chronicles 5 and 11. Second Chronicles 5 and 11, and we'll begin reading at the 11th verse. If you haven't, indicate by shouting amen.
Show me your face, fill up this space, my world needs you right now, my world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid, fill me with you right now, my world needs you right now.
Show me your face, fill up this space, My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you right now. My world needs you right now.
Power fall down. Bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see. And God, please fix me. Let us see you right now. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face.
Oh,
fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now.
That's why I'm not ashamed to say.
My world needs you right now. Kirk Franklin, and a host of others that joined in on that. I think that that was one of the most beautiful songs that was done by Kirk Franklin. Listen, guys, our world really do need God right now. We need him closer now than we've ever needed him before. We need him to be not just in our lives, but we need him to be a part of our lives. He needs to be a part of our everyday movement. Everything that we do within our day, we need to be connected through it with God. Amen. Through it with God. Listen, I can't prolong the man of God too much longer. Listen, let us go get on and go into our effectual fervent prayer on this morning. We will go ahead on, and once we do that and do our little pomp and circumstance that we do in the mornings, that we acknowledge our great countries and all that, we're going to go ahead and release the man of God. I know that there is a word in the mouth of the man of God. So listen, this morning, let us go ahead and pray. Lend me your hearts for a moment. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity and this chance to come before your presence. Father, we pray today, God, that as we come into this broadcast this morning, God, it is not of us, God, but it is of you. Father, you do what you do best, and that is be God and be big. God, be excellent today in this thing that we call, God, this broadcast for the worldwide gospel connection as we reach, God, across the airwaves to those countries, God, that are listening in. God, we pray that we will continue to be the beacon light, God, that you have called us to be. God, continue to do in us what needs to be done to continue to draw those nigh to you, God. God, you said in your word, if you be lifted up, that you will draw all men unto you. So, Father, in this that we do, God, we lift you up, God, that you may be able to draw men, my God, unto you on this morning. So we are thankful, and Father, we're grateful, God, that you are God and you are God all by yourself. In the mighty and powerful and rich name of Jesus do we pray, and the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. Listen, let us acknowledge those countries that are listening in, and we want to say thank you so very much, all of our missionary partners, all of our apostles, all of our pastors, all of those that are in the mission field doing the missionary work. You have placed your hand to the plow and you have not removed your hand. We pray your steadfast strength on this morning. We pray that the God that is able to keep you in perfect peace, that as you do this work, all things are working together for your good, and his grace and his mercy is continually over you. And those of you all that are being converted, that are listening in, we know that in some portions of this country, it's taboo for them to listen to the word of God, to hear the word of God, to be able to sit and be taught the word of God. These people have lost, could lose their lives for doing that. So we're praying for you, because we understand that still in this day and age, there are those who are losing their life because they carry a Bible. So listen, we thank God for you. We're praying for you. We're praying for the taskmasters that are over you, that their heart and their mind would turn, that their heart and their minds would turn, and their mind and their heart would turn toward God, and they'd be converted as well. Amen? Amen. So we thank you so much and pray that you will continue to listen in, continue to be safe, to continue to be protected, to continue to have your hand of mercy and grace covering, God's mercy and grace covering you as you travel and do what you do according to the works that God has called you to go into. Amen? Amen. Listen, we have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Guyana. We have Nigeria. We have Kenya. We have Zimbabwe. We have South Africa. We have Jamaica. We have Saudi Arabia. We have China. We have Hong Kong. We have Germany. We have Bulgaria. We have Russia. We have Mexico. We have the United Kingdom. We have Paris, France. We have Japan. We have South Korea. We have Ireland. And we also have India. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for what you do. We thank you so much for what you do. Our scripture for this morning comes from the book of Matthew, which is Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 4, which simply says this. It simply says this in the book of Matthew 4. He said, but he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the doers and the receivers of his great word. Listen, people of God. We're not going to hold you very long. We're not going to hold you very long, but we want to make sure, that you get the word from the Lord on this morning. I have with us this morning none other than our brother and our friend, none other than that. Let me explain something to you. We met, and ever since we met, this brother has always been the same. He has not changed not one bit, not one iota from what it was when we first met. And I thank God for the connection. I thank God for the opportunity. I thank God for the chance to be connected to this great man of God. He calls me on a regular basis and just check on me. Pastor, I'm just calling to check on you. Is everything well? I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I just want to let you know that I was thinking about you. And me and him, when me and him first met, and we were talking, and I told him, I said, the relationship pool in the church, the brotherhood in the church is real thin and is real fickle. But I thank God for a man of God like this that not only does he call and he checks on me, but he makes sure that I'm good. He makes sure that I'm good. And I appreciate that so much. Not only just as a brother standpoint, but as a preacher standpoint, because we got to check on these preachers. We got to check on our preachers, man, because, well, you know, I'm getting reports, man, that my brothers are checking out of here left and right, man. And a lot of times we don't know the reason why. Sometimes it's sickness, and sometimes it's just overwork, and sometimes it's just too much for the fight. And these brothers get sick, and their bodies just can't handle it. So listen, we need to check on one another, brothers. We need to get out there and check on each other, man. We need to do a wellness check on our brothers to make sure they're straight. This is what this Man on Monday is all about. This is a wellness check. If y'all just want to be real and be honest, man, this is a wellness. This is a wellness check. We want to check on the brothers and make sure that everybody well, okay? Amen. So listen, I'm not going to hold a man of God. I'm not going to hold a man of God. I've wasted enough of this time on this morning. But listen, I want to present to some and introduce to others none other than our brother and our friend here at the Worldwide Gospel Connection, none other than Pastor Daniel McGee. He is here this morning. Man of God, you have the floor back. Whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, man, we ready to receive.
Blessings to you. Blessings to you, Apostle. How are you this morning?
Man, I am wonderful. I am wonderful.
Praise God, man. Thank God for that great intro. And just the things that you said, we could have just dwelled right there on all of that. That was good information that you're giving out. We need to check on one another. Because we're in this battlefield. We're on a fight. We're in a fight, Doc. And we've got to fight the good fight of faith. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And so this morning we greet everybody in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give reverence to him. Blessings to you, sir, to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, ministers, and wherever your position may be, and those that know not God. We believe that your transformation will be soon forthcoming. Again, I'm one of the executive pastors at Midtown Family Worship Center, where we serve under the leadership of the Apostle Derek Lee, Sr., great man of God, who have a heart for the people. And then our campus pastor there is Pastor Arthur Randall. And we just on where we at, 4209 Wayne Street, and we just about reaching out and changing lives for the glory of God. This morning, I just want to share a little bit. I don't know how much time I have, but I just start somewhere. And I'll finish accordingly as the Spirit will give me a timeline. But as I think about, you were naming the nations this morning, all the nations that are listening in. And as you were saying, some of the people are listening in from places where they could be punished, places where they could even be killed for their faith. And here we are in the American church, and you know, we don't have no concept of being persecuted for our faith to that level, right? We have, you know, maybe somebody talk about us because we wore that same suit last week, or this person is doing this, and you know, as much persecution as we get, you know, we think it's rough because maybe they're scandalizing our name, which is bad. It doesn't feel good, and we think it's rough because maybe things are not going our way, but there are some people that are still laying down their life for the gospel. They're still allowing their blood to be shed for this way which they believe. And there was something about that New Testament church that there was no time and there was no place for playing. There was no place for unrighteousness in their life because what they had laid their life down for, they were fully persuaded that the God who had committed this unto them, that he was able to perform it. He was able to keep it unto manifestation and keep it in our lives. So there's something about making that sacrifice that connects us to his sacrifice. Am I still with you? So there's something.
Yes, sir.
Man of God, am I with you?
Yes, sir. You good. You working, Doc.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Now you can chime in with me anywhere across the way, okay? But there's something about that church, that New Testament church, there was a higher level of power. There was a higher level of manifestation of the glory of God and the Holy Spirit, because they had said not just with ear service or with mouth service, but they said, for God, I am willing to live, and for God, I am willing to lay down my life even to the point of bloodshed to die. And in that place, there was a releasing of the power of God to heal the sick, to raise the dead. You know what it was all about? It was about manifesting that the true and living Christ, the resurrected Son of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in the church today. He wants to manifest not a Christ that you heard about, but a Christ that lives. A Christ that reigns and sits on the throne of glory, a Christ that is willing to make himself known to you, even as he made himself known unto them. And so I don't know if it takes persecution for us to get to a place where we're consecrated, where we're not divided, where we're not half and half, where we don't have one foot on one side of the fence and another on us. I'm not sure if it takes persecution, because the word was given unto us to train us into the newness of this life that has been given to us through new birth in Jesus Christ. But let's talk about for a minute, there's a scripture in Jude. As Jude opens up his book, and he says this, he says, beloved, if I paraphrase it, he said, I'm writing unto you to encourage you to contend for the faith. If I read it all the way out, Jude 1:3 said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming salvation, which means that it has been given to all those that are believers in Christ, he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Verse 4, it says, for there are certain men that have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to deal with that first part in verse 3. It says, about contending for the faith. If you look up in Google, you see the word contend. It means to struggle with. It means there must be a fight. There must be a wrestling. There must be an opposition that must be faced, and there must be a force that must be driven back or driven out in order to obtain and to keep your grace given posture in Christ Jesus. Are you with me, Doc? So,
yes, sir. I'm right
as
here
believers,
with you, man. I'm right here with you, bro.
Yes, sir. So as believers, we have a grace-given posture, and what faith does, what God did, he gave us the word, so the word could produce faith in us, so that faith can release grace in our lives to know that what God has done for us, we couldn't do it. We didn't have the power to do it. Christ went to Calvary on behalf of every son that was created in the image of God, on behalf of every woman created in the image of God, saved and unsaved, male, female, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, whatever. Christ went to Calvary while we were yet sinners.
While we were yet sinners.
The Bible said while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly.
Right.
And in dying for us, he removed, or he settled, let's say this, he made every payment that needed to be paid. He settled all the charges that were against us because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He settled anything that would keep God from being able now to show mercy and still be just, because he dealt with the sin through judging the sin on Calvary through Jesus Christ. It was not his sin, but it was my sin. And because I have sin, in order for him to show me favor and release grace to me, he has to deal with the sin to still be just. But at the same time, in dealing with the sin at Calvary, he settled the sin issue for me, and then now he's the justifier of all them that believe in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So by him settling my sin issue, he says, now, son, I no longer call you a sinner. Now I call you, 2 Corinthians 5:21, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It reads out like this. It says, him who knew no sin became sin. That's Jesus Christ. He became your sin. It was your sin and my sin that was judged at Calvary. It was not his sin. It was our sin. It was judged at Calvary. It was dealt with at Calvary. And not only was it dealt with, I was there. Now, we may not see this, and I like to say I don't have time to go through all that, but I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was crucified with Christ. That's what Paul says. Paul says that when God was bringing this, when God was manifesting this eternal truth that we were in Christ, he says it like this. He says, I was crucified with Christ. I was buried with Christ, go through Romans 6. I was raised with Christ so that I could be justified. I was buried with Christ so that my sins could be taken away. I was crucified with Christ so that my sins can be judged. Now, if my sins were judged at Calvary, then I'm not waiting for the judgment of my sins today.
Right.
He was raised. I was raised with Christ to justification.
Right.
So that I may have liberty now to operate and to begin to function in my God-given posture as a son.
Right.
Yeah, I need something to empower me to know that who I was, I am no more. It's not because of what I did. It's because of what he did. But I need to understand that God has now given me a God-given posture, a grace-given posture, so that I can be empowered now to live in the newness of life. To understand that the life that once held me in chains no longer has that kind of power over me, because that man that I was is already crucified. Am I in the right place? The man that I was and the thing that held me down once had a chain around my neck that I couldn't get free, and Satan was my taskmaster. And Satan was my taskmaster when I was in sin, but once I came to Christ and I heard the truth of the gospel, and that how Christ had died on behalf of my sin, died in the place of my sin, and that when I connect to him and I receive his salvation, all of my sins are judged at Calvary.
Exactly like that.
So that if my sins are judged at Calvary, the old man, Paul said, the old man, the old nature is crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means that the same sin now that comes to try to apprehend me, if I understand my new position in Christ, then I can look at the enemy and look at that old temptation and say, you're dead to me.
Exactly.
Because I'm dead to you.
Dead to
and you don't find no alcoholics in the graveyard.
Come on, man.
You can't find no drug addicts in the graveyard. You can't tempt them with drugs. You can't, because they're dead. There's nothing in them that can respond.
Come on, sir. Come on. Paint the picture, sir.
There's nothing in them that can respond. The sexual addiction, there's nothing in them. And the believer has to understand that we have been positioned in this place where we're on the other side of the cross. As a believer, we have to understand that if I have died and I have risen with Christ, now I'm walking in the newness of life. I receive something at salvation.
Yes, sir.
I receive a posture. I received a posture, I received a positioning in Christ that empowers me to walk effectively in righteousness and not empowers me to walk effectively in righteousness before God without a sin conscience, without a guilt conscience. You know, one of the most effective things the enemy comes to fight us with, he comes to fight us with that guilt consciousness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And
yes.
That old nature, that sin conscious, that, yeah, well, maybe you're self Christ, but you ain't no good. I know who you are. I know who you were. I know what you always been, and you ain't going to never be no different. He comes to remind us, I know how you were. I know your relationship with drugs. I know your relationship with sex. I know your relationship with this. I know your weaknesses. You trying to tell me you don't have weaknesses? So here, you know, the Bible talks about men creeping in to spy out our liberty and to spy out our grace-given position and faith. Not only do men do it, and some men do it, don't even realize that they're doing it, may have good intentions. Okay, deal with that, Pastor, deal with that. Okay. I don't know how much time I have, but I'm going to try to be short. When God says to us as believers that if any man be in Christ, she is a new creature. That's something the world ain't never know, don't even have no revelation.
Yeah.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is our new, this is when the spirit man actually comes alive in us. Before we got saved, before we believed the gospel, we were only led by the desires of our mind, will, and emotion, which is in our soul realm. That soul man basically governed us. Some say it was the nature of the old man. Some say it was the desires of the flesh. Whatever it was, we were bound to Satan. We were chained to a kingdom of darkness. We were plugged into darkness, put it like that. Let's do that. We were plugged into darkness. And so darkness had a ruling power in our life, over our life. All our equipment knew how to function in darkness. Darkness is what I knew. Nobody had to force me to do evil. It was naturally a part of me. That's what David meant when he said I was born in sin.
Shaped
in iniquity. Nobody had to force teach me how to lie. Lying was natural propensity for me. Selfishness, looking out for myself first. Wanting to do what I do over wanting to lay down my life and honor my wife and love her with unconditional love and agape love and to love others. That's not a natural propensity. That has to happen in the new birth.
In the new birth. Right.
This happens in the new birth. When agape love begins to flow up, the Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, which he has given unto us. But in the old man, the equipment that we were used to working with, it was wired to the old kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. But the Bible said in Colossians, I believe, Colossians 1:13, but Christ has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Or God has delivered us from that kingdom, unplugged us from that wall. He has unplugged us from that socket. And he has plugged us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, when I was in the kingdom of darkness, the life of darkness flowed into me.
Yeah.
But when I was unplugged from the kingdom of darkness and plugged into the kingdom of his dear son, guess what's supposed to flow into me now? The life of righteousness. The life of God. We are branches. He's the vine. Whatever is in the vine flows into the branch. So now I must re-educate my mind to my new grace-given position in God. I must re-educate my mind, think on a different level. Why? Because the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, it's dangerous if I don't renew my mind to who I am in Christ. it's dangerous for me to not renew my mind, to have accepted salvation through Jesus Christ, but to still see myself as someone who is still bound to the kingdom of darkness. To have accepted something, but don't know how to use it. To have accepted something, but don't know how to operate in it. I have accepted righteousness, but I do not understand what righteousness does for me. I do not understand that it's his righteousness that has been given to me so that I may walk freely before the throne of grace, that I may walk into the throne room of God as a son and not as a sinner. Now, I deserve to be a sinner, but my sins were paid for. It's not me talking. This is what God says in his word. So that I may be able to walk before him in sonship and in righteousness. Now, the righteousness is never mine by my own creation. The righteousness has been given unto me. It is my grace-given posture in Christ Jesus. And because God has made me a thing, I've got to start learning how to operate this new equipment. Because if I don't learn how to operate this new equipment, I guarantee you I'm going to flow with the only operation that I know how to use. The only thing I've ever known was how to operate equipment from the kingdom of darkness. So it's easier for me from my mind, will, and emotion standpoint, even though I got this newborn again spirit because I don't understand how this thing works. Guess what? When I see an opportunity to lust, I go operating in the old with the old equipment. When I see an opportunity to be drawn back to the strongholds of drugs and drawn back to the strongholds of alcohol and drawn back to the strongholds of fornication, sex, homosexuality, and every other thing that was connected to darkness. And I say, well, I guess Christ didn't fix that. But you know what? It's that I don't know that I got a whole new set of equipment on the inside. The problem is my grace-given posture says that I am a new creature. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And now that I've been born of the spirit, I need to understand that the weapons that I was used to, now let me give you an analogy, if you will. And I thank God for this. You know, there's a war going on in the world now, Ukraine and Russia. And all the nations, you know, they're supporting Ukraine because they're being overtaken. And we pray for Ukraine that God would give them peace and protection and that he would just break the area, you know, the spirit of war and greed and murder. And we're not sure how it's going to turn out, but we pray for God's protection, right? And we pray that God would allow peace to be resolved, that the world don't go to the next level, but we never know what's going to happen in war. But let's talk about equipment. See, Ukraine, they have their own equipment, which is no match for the Russian army. They have their own military. They have their own tanks, whatever they have to fight with, planes, jets, fighters, missile launchers. But Ukraine will not even be having this standoff as well as they're having, regardless how it turns out, if they didn't get equipment from NATO and the West and the United Nations. Now, they have the equipment. They would love to have more army. They would love to have more protection, but they can't get everything they ask for because we don't want a world war. But the equipment has to come with instructions. And if Ukraine had javelins and Stinger missiles and all these things that the West and NATO and the United States is supplying them, if they have these things but they don't have the instructions in how to operate them, then they would still be rendered worthless. They would still be easily defeated. They would have been defeated as in a day or two, even as Russia had plans to defeat them. Now, these are just facts. And I'm not a military man, but I'm just looking at, they had to have understanding in how to work the equipment they have received from NATO and the United Nations so that they can effectively know how to take out tanks and take out jets and take out military systems and personnel from the opposing army. And so, because they have been educated as to how to operate their equipment, they have been able to operate at a surprisingly effective manner to protect their homeland. And there's a bravery there because they have said that these are our children, this is our land, these are our wives, and we will protect this land with our own lives. And if we're talking about contending, we've got to get to a point now in our faith where this is our God-given posture that God has raised us from the dead in spiritual life, has placed us in Christ. The Bible said that he seated us with Christ, Ephesians 2 and 4, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is our spiritual posture, grace-given posture. We didn't earn it. We weren't good enough for it. It was nothing that we did. But if we don't understand it and embrace it, the enemy is coming to take it away from us. And he's going to drag us back to putting a chain around our neck and saying sin still rules over us. If we don't understand our God-given posture, our grace-given posture in Christ Jesus, even though we have this new man, we don't understand how to operate and flow with the Spirit of God that we have been given. We don't understand how to operate and flow in the new man that we're walking in once we have received the new birth. Our spirit has come to life in Christ. When my spirit comes to life in Christ, guess what? I got to feed him just like a newborn baby. Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word of God, because this is where I begin to learn about my relationship with God. If I don't learn about my new man, then I will consider my relationship with God to be that which he has with my old man. Now, that might be above some people's head there. If I don't learn that God has called me righteousness, then I'm going to continue to call myself filthiness. If I don't learn that God has put me in a position because of what Christ did for me and because of the fact that I have accepted his free gift that only he could give me, if I don't learn that Romans 8 and 1 says there is therefore now no condemnation. If I can't receive this grace-given posture in Christ, because there's a lot of believers that have not received it and will never receive it from their mind, from their mental standpoint, because they review everything in their faith from their mind, will, and emotion realm in the soul realm. But I can say to you that your spirit is without the flaws that you have in your old nature and your soul. Your spirit can receive the word, but we don't operate through our spirit, man. We operate through our soul realm. And our soul remembers how we used to rob people, how we used to gangbang. Our soul remembers how we were strung out on drugs, or strung out in sets, or strung out in the world. Our soul remembers, and that's the reality that we operate from. But God said, I need you to feed your born-again spirit until he has been strengthened enough to rise up and say, no, I'm not operating in condemnation. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because from this position forward, everything I can do is because I have been placed in him. And because I have been placed in him, there are things, he says, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, you will pray in a new tongue. You will pray by the Holy Ghost. This is new equipment that you got to learn how to function in. Because the more you come into the understanding of who you are now and where he has placed you now, the more you will be able to send the enemy back and say, the guy you looking for died. Man, he died a couple years ago. He don't stay here no more. This place has been occupied by Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. The enemy said, no, you ain't nothing to you. I can get you to fall the same way you fell last time, the same stuff. You still bound to the same nature. You still bound to the same nature. He comes in to take away your liberty. He comes in to take away our liberty. He comes in to take away our consciousness of righteousness with guilt and condemnation. And if we don't understand who we are in Christ, then we have to agree with him and go back under his chain. Forgiven, but still bound. But all it behooves us to contend for the posture that God has given us. It behooves us to protect the church from here. How many people go to church and leave the church feeling less empowered than they did when they got there? Because if I be honest with you, sometimes the very messages that we hear have been infiltrated by the enemy to keep the church crippled. Maybe I should say that a second time. The very message that we hear is designed by good intentions of man, but strategic intentions of the enemy,
right,
to cripple the church so that the church will never be empowered to believe that now the old position is different from their new position, that their new position is empowered by God, empowered through God, can bring forth the purpose of God, can bring forth the power of God, can bring forth the will of God in the earth realm. But the enemy tells us, no, you can't do that. You just like you were before you got redeemed. The only thing is, now you've accepted salvation, you're still going to live a life. You're still going to be defeated. You're still going to be overcome. You're still going to be overtaken. Now, a believer is going to experience opposition, but we have to understand our victory is from the inside out. Our victory is because of what Christ has already done and where he has already seated us and what he has already connected us and where he has disconnected us from and where he has plugged us up to. Because the more we meditate on who we are and the new man, the Bible says when we're born of the Spirit, that's a whole new creation. And so now we have to understand who we are. And then when we understand who we are, I can guarantee you before the day is out, somebody's going to tell you that ain't who you are. It may be a thought from the enemy. It may be a well-meaning thought from somebody that just know you here or there. I don't know who you think you are, but that ain't who you are. Now, man of God, how many people have told you when you figured out who you are in Christ, that ain't who you are?
In the town, sir.
Who do you think you are? Beloved, it's a God-given, grace-given posture that we must accept. And once we have accepted who we are in Christ, then we must grow in the knowledge of who we are in Christ and what we can do and what God has done in us and what God is willing to do through us so that I can approach God not under guilt and condemnation, but I can approach God knowing that he's a father that has loved me, has made the way, has paved the way, so that I can walk before him as a son. So we must contend, my brother, for the position of faith. And we must contend for that position by faith. And we cannot allow the enemy, whether strategically on the sly or whether directly confronting us through ideals and thoughts and seed that he sown, to take away from our newborn liberty in Christ Jesus. That's it, Bob. That's it, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Wow. What is the state of, and see, the title of this month's theory is called restoring the house. He gave that to me. That's the reason why the flyer didn't get put out yet, hadn't got put out yet, because God was downloading some information to me about restoring the house. And if you look at Mark 2:22 says it like this. He said, "And no man puts new wine into old wineskin. Otherwise, the wineskin will burst. The wine will burst the skin, and the wine is lost as well as the skin. No new wineskin is put into a fresh wineskin." We got to understand, in order for us to get the mindset of God, we have to become pliable. Now watch this here. I like the way the Amplified Bible reads it. You say, "No man put new wine into old wineskin. Otherwise, the fermenting wine will expand and burst the skin."
And burst. Yes, sir.
And then
it says, expand
and burst the skin, and the wine is lost as well as the wineskin. But no wine must be put into new wine should be put into new wineskin. Mm-hmm. In other words, the mindset. You can't put a new mindset into an old man. Because the old mindset of the man, he's not going to be in concept. And see, this is the reason. Watch this here. This is the reason why we lose so many of our young people. This is the reason why we lose so many of the ones that are not quote unquote church bound people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They haven't been in church their whole life. They haven't seen church. They just go because mama done told them to go, or they go because they've been invited to go. And because we're not willing to be pliable and to teach them, you know what? We have to meet them where they are so they can be better at who God wants them to be. I'm gonna say that again because that's just somebody in the back. We got to teach them. We got to be pliable so they can come to us and ask us the hard questions. And don't be ashamed to answer the questions. Don't be ashamed to share your come on here. Let me help you real quick. Come to the front of the church. Listen, you can't be ashamed to share a portion of your testimony. Because they think what they see in the front, the Shatta, the EDIO, the Hallelujah, the Thank You Jesus, the run around the church, the shouting, you hitting on the one and on the two. You had this your whole life and don't realize you ain't been there but a year and a half.
Amen.
I just got here. And that is the reason why I believe that the church is in the condition that it's in right now. Pastor, we didn't got so used to being behind this computer screen. We could sit there with a nice top on and be in our pajama pants.
Man of God, speak. You're right.
We can look with whole face full of makeup, got the hair done, got your nails on, and you sitting up there. You looking all churchy and sanctimonious, but from the waist down. Come on, can we talk about from the waist down?
Yes, sir.
Some of us are spiritually dead from the waist down because we don't step back into the house of God. Not because of the pandemic, because let me be honest with you. The pandemic was actually designed to drive you to prayer. It wasn't designed to drive you into hibernation. I'm sorry, I may offend some folk with this one, but it was not designed for hibernation. It was designed to teach you how to pray. Russia and Ukraine right now in this thing right now that they're going into, it's designed to draw you into prayer. I shared this with a preacher. I said, I have not heard a prayer visual about this people yet. I haven't heard nobody getting on it. I haven't heard them talk about it. But ain't nobody said, hey, man, let's get together and let's pray. I guess I got to be the one to move and say something. God ain't told me to do it, but maybe this is God's way of saying, you know what, I ain't got to tell you nothing. Tell you. Some things you just ought to know on your own. You ought to just be automatic and go on and do it.
You ought to go on and do it.
This is the thing that people don't get, Doc. We are the number one influencer in the world right now is the church, because we mimic everything that the world does.
Everything. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, listen. You pulled some gas on the fire this morning.
It's all right.
We have totally, completely, without a shadow of a doubt, we have missed the mark when it comes to trying to compare. We can't compel them to come until we lift him. The Bible said, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. If we're going into the highways and the hedges and we still look like them. Now, I'm not saying that you can't reach them with what you need to reach them with, but if it looks more like the world than it does like the church,
then we represent him, or do we represent?
Come on, God.
Yeah. We can't. So we don't. Even when we learn to relate, we never change the principle, and we never change the delivery. I can't get in the bag with you and say that I understand that what you're dealing with is that you're bound to whatever addiction or whatever situation going on. I've been there at some point in my life. But yeah, I can understand it to the point of saying I know the one who can set you free from it.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't saying I haven't been touched by sin, ravaged by sin, I still have to fight with the old nature, which I do.
Yeah.
But I don't accept the old nature as my identity anymore. My identity is that I've been forgiven in Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Paul said, he said, if I sin, that's sin that's operating in me, but that is not who I identify with anymore. I identify with the man who died for me. Therefore, if I'm going to walk in liberty, it is Christ that I put my trust in, and I stop trusting myself to deliver myself, because there is no power within myself to set myself free.
You know, the beautiful part about it is Paul says like this. He says there is a fight in my members.
Yeah. There is a fight.
That blew my mind when I read that text, because what Paul was talking about at the time I was dealing with.
Yes, sir.
I'm fighting the fight against me and don't realize God is trying to elevate me and bring me to a newer or more effective way of handling what I need to handle. But watch this here. I can't let my broken place be the place that keeps me, watch this here, from testifying and letting somebody know, I still wrestle with some stuff.
Yeah.
I still wrestle in my mind with some stuff. We human.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Sometimes, truth be told, we fall. We fall. And that's what we need to let the people know. Listen, it's not a perfect walk. It's an imperfect person working towards perfection that sometimes loses his or her way. And when they lose his or her way, it's always a way back. Watch the tip. The prodigal son is a perfect example. He went to his dad and got everything that he thought he should have from his dad. And when he got it, he thought that he was on top of the world.
Mm.
And then when he lost everything, see, this is the thing. Most people get mad at the prodigal son. Oh, why would he come to his daddy? And I've done it too. I've preached this million, probably about 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times. And I've always, I always pinpointed talking about the boy sitting up there and disrespecting his father. And he sat up there and did what he did. But in actuality, if you want to know the truth, let me tell you the truth. It was part of the process. Of us going into the place where we need to go into. See, because if we never fought, come here, man, and let me help you.
Amen.
Know,
hallelujah.
If you never fall, you will never know how good God really is.
You will never
if you
know.
If you never how make good. A mistake, you'll never know how good God really is.
You will never.
If you don't ever stumble, if you don't ever stumble in this thing, you'll never know how good God really is.
You'll never know. And then you understand that he could love me in spite of not only what
come
I did before
on,
I got saved, but even
come
my flaws,
on,
even now, that did not cancel my relationship with God, even when I had hindered or when I had caused sin to be in the midst of my fellowship with God. And while it dealt with my fellowship, but it never changed my relationship. I am still a son. Now, it causes me to... in my old man, it causes me to now approach God in a different way.
Well,
I feel like Adam, feel like I got to hide in the cool of the garden somewhere because it's like God coming in. I know I done messed up. Come on, somebody. But I have to remember that Christ has dealt with my sin. So instead of running from God, I can run boldly to the throne of grace. And the Bible said if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to get back up and do what I called you to do. And
now,
don't you linger for me. Don't you stay out of church for the next year bound by guilt.
Because he's gone. Come on.
Because therefore now know, and the enemy is mad as a firecracker.
Listen. Listen, how did a $2 pistol? Come on, Doc.
He mad as a firecracker. How can you forgive them? How can you restore him after all he done?
Right. And see,
but we have an advocate with the Father.
An advocate. Man,
an advocate with
the
Father. Yeah, so the Bible said, beloved, I write unto you, 1 John 2:1-2, I write unto you that you do not sin. But if any man does sin, he wasn't talking to the sinner. Now he talked to the church. He said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father who is the propitiation for our sins. He stands on our behalf. He reminds the Father that I've already paid for that Calvary.
Yeah.
I have paid for that Calvary. That means that it does not change his relationship with me, but I allow him now to come to the revelation of the error of his way, and I have offered perfect salvation and perfect restoration. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something, it doesn't affect your newborn spirit.
Right.
You were born of the spirit, and your spirit is still the righteousness of God. Now, it does affect your soul. That's why I called you to walk like you're in condemnation.
Talk, sir. Talk to us.
And then that's where the enemy comes in and plays with your mind.
He said, yes.
He said, well, you might as well quit. You might as well go back because you ain't no better than the rest of
them. Come on. Now watch
your spirit need to rise up and say, nope. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My sins have been paid for. I've been forgiven. I'm redeemed. You know what? That sin may have happened, but I don't identify with it as me.
Mm-hmm.
I identify it as sin.
Right.
But now let me give up and be me.
let me be crucified with Christ and seated with Christ
in heavenly places.
Let me be me.
See, I've
got to
learn to separate.
Me.
The only thing that can separate the soul from the spirit is the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Bible said it's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, able even to separate. It even separates the distinction between what's going on in your soul and what God has established in your spirit.
Mm-hmm. It's like a good surgical knife. It's like a good when they go in and they do these nips and cuts, and they gotta go in and they gotta cut stuff out. They got to have what they call surgical skill to cut that thing out.
Amen.
It has to be surgical skill. It can't be dollar store steel. You can't buy it from Walmart. You can't buy it off eBay. You can't buy it out of Amazon. This is surgical steel. This thing that God uses to cut this thing out of us is one of those pieces of equipment that only He can wield at the time that He needs to wield it.
Amen. Amen. But it goes to the root of it.
I know you got to get to it, man. I know you got to get to it. I'm gonna let you go. But listen, we appreciate you so much. Let us pray for you, man. And after we pray for you, we're going to go right on, man. And we want you to let the people know how they can get in contact if they want you to come and they want you to speak, or they just want to let them know about your business, man. Because this great man of God, not only is he a carrier of the word, but he is a agent, a real estate agent, and he can help you.
Yeah, loan
officer. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Listen, he's a loan officer. He can help you write that stuff up for you. So listen, let's pray for the man of God. Father, we thank you for this weapon of warfare that you set among us on this morning. God, we thank you for the elevation of the minds of the hearts, God, of the people that were listening in on today. Father, we pray, God, that the words that were spoken in life and in strength and in power. God, that they rise up from the place that they're in, and you give them the ability, God, to withstand and to stand, God, in the place, God, that they need to stand according to the word that the man of God has spoken. God, we pray for him now, God. We lift him up to you, God. God, everything that the enemy thought that he had, every place that he had camped out on today, thinking that he was going to come in and wreak havoc in the man of God's life, we silence that thing right now. We speak to the enemy in every way and everywhere, and tell to the enemy that today you cannot have our brother. You cannot come in and wreak havoc in his family, in his home, God, with the relationship between his wife and himself and his children and himself. God, come on and protect everything that's connected to the man of God, every cousin, every nephew, niece, God, every friend, God, connected to this great man of God. God, we pray your supernatural covering over them, God, in the mighty and rich and powerful name of Jesus. We speak the blood over every doorpost that's connected to them, and there shall be no evil that come nigh their dwelling. God, we speak a financial breakthrough and blessing over their life, God, every place that they need, God, financially. God, we thank you for answering it right now in the mighty and rich name of Jesus. Restore to them, God, that the canker worm, the karma worm, and the caterpillar has eaten, God, and cause his house to be blessed. Let his children call him an honorable man. Let his wife call him an honorable man on today. God, in the mighty and rich name of Jesus do we pray. And the body of Christ says, amen, amen, and amen. Man, listen, let the people know when they get in contact with your man of God. If they want you to help them with their loan for their house, let them know everything is connected to the man of God, okay?
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Apostle. Thank you for your prayers. Just thank God for the fellowship we always have together. Well, you know, there's a stirring of the spirit. And I thank God and congratulate you on your most recent elevation to the office of apostleship. And know God got some great things, some destiny purposes over your life that are going to manifest you and your wife. Thank God for the woman of God and her prayerful position with you. Now, I'm Pastor Daniel McGee, Midtown Family Worship Center at 4209 Wayne Street. The number I give you is also the number that I use for as a loan officer with Hillcrest Home Loans, where we decide to help people in every aspect of life and position of life to acquire their promise and the dream of a new home. By working with them to get their credit in place and working with realtors to find a home that fits their budget and just giving them the kind of education they need so that they can possess the land. And so, again, I'm with Hillcrest Home Loans. You can find me at this number or any, you know, whatever capacity you can find me at this number, 832-739-2953. Again, that number is 832-739-2953. If you have a question or you have a question by email, you can email, or you can go to our, you can go to our website at Hillcrest Home Loans, www.hillcresthomeloans, and you can email me at Daniel, D-A-N-I-L, that's Daniel at hchomeloans.com. Again, that's Daniel at hchomeloans.com. Again, it's about just empowering the people of God to possess that which maybe they felt like that it would never happen. But God wants us to possess the land. He wants us to cover our family. He wants us to be able to have equity in some place so that we can experience a better life and build a better future for our family. So that is definitely how you get in touch with me. Again, I'm Daniel McGee, and I thank God for all of you all, and I just pray that the word today equips and empowers God's people from whatever position you are. If you're not in Christ, the bill has been paid. The price has been laid, and Christ has risen so that you could have abundant access to favor and to grace, and that you can walk in his purpose and be in his presence for eternity one day. If you are in Christ, it's time to know what all he has laid up for you, because there's so much that we have not yet tapped into. God bless you. And a God.
Amen. Amen. God bless you too. Pastor McGee, we're so excited about what God is doing in Midtown Families and Worship Center. Man, we have to get back by now, man, to visit with y'all. We were truly blessed to be able to come and to share with you any time that we did come. We look forward to doing it again. We are excited about what God is doing through the man of God and what you guys are doing there. Continue to pray for us. We continue to pray for you guys. As you said, it's a great undertaking, man. It's a great undertaking, man. We need the prayer warriors on the wall now.
On the wall, now.
Yes,
on the wall.
Yes, sir. Yes, the Bible says
when people may ask why we're concerned about Ukraine or any other area that may not be anywhere close to us, because they're created in the image of God.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. And the question that I ask myself sometimes, how many die without knowing him?
Mm.
And it tells us that we have to always be about the Father's business.
Mm-hmm.
Because life is for, this life is for a moment, but eternal life is for eternity.
Right. You know, and that's the crazy part, man. We go to funerals and we see these people that are there, that's in the casket, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, we can say, they lived a good life. They lived a real good life. But then there are those that we can go to and we can say, Lord, was they life in line with you?
Mm-hmm.
Were they in right standing with you? You know, we all got a handful of this in our family.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. We got funerals every week.
Yeah. So, but man, we're so honored to have you. We bless God for you, and we ask that you continue to be that beacon light, man, that the people need to know and hear. And we thank you so much. We love you, man. Listen, we're gonna go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We got to listen to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Still has has a plan for me. It's working for me.
sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes almost level to the ground. But I made it. Pressed down. Cast down. Perplexed. But I'm still made it. The enemy's desire is to cause you to think that you're less than who you really are. But today I want to give to you the words that you need to hear. It's going to be okay. You can make it through this right here. For God I live. It's for God I live. And for God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn your head toward the hills which come at your help. Your help comes from the Lord. You can stand real strong in this. And no matter what the enemy may bring, no matter what the enemy may see, whatever the enemy may say, know that not only is he able, but he is well able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask and think. Trust him beyond what you see, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen is eternal. He is able to move by your power, by his power and his strength. He will strengthen you in your weakened and broken place. For he is not only God, but he is the strength of your life. Amen? Amen. Listen, we're going to go ahead and go into our overcoming scripture, overcoming prayer. And then we're going to go ahead and close out the service, close out our broadcast for the day. Our overcoming scripture this morning comes from Romans 10 and 9. You guys know this one by heart. It simply says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Listen, this is the opportunity right now for you to receive from him that you need to strengthen you, to encourage you, to empower you, to build you up on every broken side, to let you know that even in the midst of whatever it is that you may be going through, he is the author and finisher of your faith. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask and think. He is the God that is the finisher of your faith. And in him you live, it's in him you breathe, it's in him you have your being. You cannot do nothing without him. And listen, we just want to extend to you this opportunity, no matter where you may find yourself at today. Know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, but think he will come into that place where you are and give you freedom. You tried everything else. You'd have been everywhere else. You'd have been with everybody else, but you couldn't find it. But watch this. God is extending to you this opportunity this morning to receive him as your Lord and Savior. The only thing you have to do is just receive that scripture, Romans 10 and 9. And as I pray this prayer, I'm going to reintroduce that scripture to you. And I want you to just lift up your hands, lift up your heart, lift up your mind, and just say, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. It's very simple. It's not complex. It's not complicated at all. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this great undertaking, God, of those that are under the sound of our voices on this morning. Father, our prayer is for those that are in the place of transition, God. They're standing at the fork, at the road side of life. They're standing at that fork in the road, God, trying to figure out what direction to go in. Father, we pray today, God, that you will release unto them that they need right now in the mighty and rich name of Jesus. God, stretch out your hand, stretch out your heart, stretch out your word. God, stretch out your mindset toward them right now, God, and let them know that it is in you, God. God, it is all things are possible, and they can cross over no matter what they've done before, God. You don't hold that against them. As a matter of fact, you let that be their learning curve, and now it's time for them to come on in and come into the house. Father, so we thank you right now, God, for your grace, your mercy, and your wisdom and your power, God, that will meet them where they are and give them the strength to stand and to withstand in the midst of the storm and in the rain. Father, now we pray, God, as Romans 10 and 9 has spoke over their life, God, that they walk into that newness in you right now. Father, we pray, God, that as they confess with their mouth and they believe in their hearts and that they receive you right now as their Lord and Savior, and they are now saved. They are now safe in your care. And we thank you, Father God, in advance for all that you are doing, done, and will do in the mighty and rich and infallible name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. And the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. Listen, we're going to go ahead and end the broadcast on this morning, but those of you all who would like to be a blessing to sow into the Worldwide Gospel Connection, you can do so by going to your Cash App, your Zelle, or your PayPal. Either one of those three ways to share a gift of giving. The Zelle is 832-816-7997. You also have your Cash App, which is $WGC2020, and you also have your PayPal, which is paypal.me/worldwidegc. Again, that's paypal.me/worldwidegc. You can connect with us and give into any one of those places, and we look forward to receiving your seed so we can bless your seed. Now watch this, and that seed that you blessed us with, know that it goes into a good ground, and when it goes into good ground, watch what it does. It will yield a harvest for you, because watch this, when you give to us, we give to others, and that seed goes into the next seed, and that seed goes into the next seed, and that's how you receive a harvest in a field that you did not plant in personally. But watch this, God will cause that thing to be yielded into your life, amen, because you were obedient. He said the obedient will eat the good of the land. So listen, continue to be obedient and operate and walk in that place that God has commanded you to walk in. Amen? Amen. We look forward to you guys joining us again on this coming Thursday for our Women's Day Thursday and for our Freestyle Friday. We're just excited about what God is doing in this time and in this hour. We love you so much. We appreciate you so much. Listen, and we look forward to you guys joining us again on next week. And we know that all things that work together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And we know that the purpose of God is not only just in your life, but it is on your life. Amen? Amen. So listen, as we go ahead on and leave and go into the end of today's broadcast, know that you can contact us. You can get in contact with us, those of you all who are looking for a church home. Those of you all who are looking for a church home, I forgot to mention this part. Those of you all who are just giving your life and you're looking for a church home, you can join us, the Abba House family, which is where myself and Pastor Kashima Douglas, pastor at, is at 1910 Sam Houston Parkway East. That's 1910 Sam Houston Parkway East. We have services there on every first and third Sunday. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at the Abba House. There is room for you at the house. Remember, there is room for you at the house. Come on over and be a part of what God is doing at the Abba House service. Know that. Watch this. I forgot to give y'all three keys. Key number one: get your really good Bible. Those of y'all who give in your life, get your Bible. That's the first thing, because you need the basic instruction before leaving Earth. You need that. And then you watch this here. You need to get into a good church home. Get into a church that the pastor is preaching, not only preaching the word. Now watch the third part, that he's living what he's preaching. Watch this here. We need to have some examples in the church that you can see, and that your lifestyle outside of the church don't mimic what he's doing inside the church. Come on, let me help you real quick. That's the only way that you're going to get to the place where you need to be, that you have to be in a place to where somebody is challenging you to do better and be better. Amen? God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you. And know that everything that God is doing, he's already working out for you. Amen? Amen. So listen, we look forward to you guys coming on and being a part of what God has spoken, said, and will continue to do with us and through us here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And God bless you guys. You guys have a fantastic morning. Amen.
And they would call the old deacon down, and he would just go to praying an old school prayer. Father God, I come before you today. head bowed and body bent. Lord, I want to thank you that last night my bed didn't become my cooling board. And oh, God, I just want to take a minute to tell you thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you kept me when I didn't know how to keep myself, God. And I thank you that you never left me and you've been with me every step of the way. Lord, if nobody else brought a thanksgiving in their hearts, I just want to tell you, much obliged, sir. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for every day that you brought me out. I'm grateful for every moment that you wrapped your loving arms around me. I'm grateful for every time you regulated me and kept me in my right mind. I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. Lord, I'm so grateful right now. I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for food on my table. Thank you for clothes on my back. Thank you that I got up this morning and I had a roof over my head. I remember, I remember, I remember. I remember how we used to say, I woke up this morning with my mind and it was stayed, stayed on Jesus. And Lord, I don't need. I don't need no rocks crying out in my place. But Lord, you've been so good to me. I cannot tell it all. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for being my way maker. Thank you for being my burden bearer. Please, please, please. Oh, please excuse me while I check off my list. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for shielding me. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for bringing me. Thank you for lifting me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for raising me up, God. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've been a way maker. Lord, you've been my rock in the weary land. Lord, you've been my shelter in the time of storm. Lord, you've been my way maker. You've been my rock. You've been my redeemer. You've been my strong tower. You've been my everything. Oh, Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I just came to ask you to have mercy on us. I just need you to stop by the sanctuary today and touch those who are sick in their bodies. Touch the man, the woman, the boy, or the girl that came in with confusion or emotional depression. Lift them up and restore unto them the joy of their salvation. Lord, I just want to take a minute and make our request known. We need the Holy Ghost to make himself visible in this house. Send a glory cloud that sets down on every section, every row, and every seat in this place. Send your glory that liberates our thinking and reminds us of who we are and whose we are. Send your power that gives evidence of our confidence that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Lord, we thank you in advance that you're sending a fresh wind that's about to sweep through this house.
household. And as a result, bloodlines are going to be put back on track. Finances are about to be changed around. Joy is about to be restored. Peace is about to be reinvented. Thank you, Lord God, that the glory cloud is already descending. And as a result, nobody in here is going to leave the same way that they came. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I make a case against the enemy. Satan, you gotta release us. Satan, you gotta let our families go. You gotta let our children go. You gotta let our minds go. You gotta let our finances go. I plead the blood. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. We tarry before you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. And when we get to the other side of it, Lord, we promise to turn around and make this declaration that this is the Lord's doing, and it's just marvelous in our eyes. But because we know who we are and we know whose we are, we don't have to wait for our section to catch on. We don't have to wait for the people on our road to catch on. I don't need somebody else to validate what I've already believed him to do. So in advance, this is just for the real faith walkers. In advance of the job, in advance of the new house, in advance of the financial breakthrough, in advance of the healing, in advance of the restoration, in advance of the increase, in advance of the elevation, in advance of the new business, in advance of the new territory, in advance, we release a praise that makes the devil mad. We release a shout that makes walls fall down. We release a praise.